Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
And this is episode 345, ladies and gentlemen, and Power Slam Show. Live and 11, Culligan, Fungal, like among you, if you will. Indeed. I am Chris Featherstone, as always, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to have a fun night, as we do always. 345 episodes in, and it just gets better and better. All right, ladies and gentlemen, 345. We got our weekly Q&A, live Q&A. We have a former Imp wrestling star on the show tonight. Without further ado,
what's going on, everybody? How are you guys doing?
Doing great. For the second time, you've been on the show, and it's great to have you on the show tonight, and it's great to talk once again. But this time, it wasn't the Q&A format. It was just you and I chatting. But now we're going to interact with our fan base, and they've got some things to talk to you about.
Absolutely. Hey, just so you know, on my end, I'm having kind of you're going in and out as far as being able to hear you. So I don't know if there's something you can do to tune that up. I just want to make sure I catch everything.
Yes, I will definitely make sure about that. Let's see. Thought I had this together. How's it sound now?
Getting a little better.
Okay, getting a little better.
There you are. Now we can do this.
All right.
How you guys doing, man? Good to be back. Thanks for having me back.
Awesome, man. Great to And the sound it sounds good. Everything you sound consistent. We're all good.
So far, so good.
Awesome. All right, cool. Yeah, it's funny. Over six and a half years since this show. Sometimes you still get glitches, but I'm glad we're all set. Joseph said he was just. What's that?
Technology. Sometimes it's just not that easy.
Yes, very true. Very true indeed. Joseph said that he was just listening to 83 Weeks earlier, and your pops was just talking about you. So,
what was the old man saying?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to hashtag Ask Garrett, A-S-K-G-A-R, just one R. GARETT. So ask Garrett. Hashtag ask ASKGA. Before I get into any of these questions, let's catch up. So you're doing, what are you doing these days? And I know that you are doing some indie stuff with Wes Briscoe still, right?
Yeah, we just, I guess two questions in one there. I just recently left the full-time job that I was at about 3 weeks ago. Decided to go venture out on some new stuff, and I got a couple different irons in the fire and working on a few things and just kind of taking a breather for a few minutes. But in the meantime, there's a great company here. Well, I live in Tampa. They're based out of Cocoa Beach, which is just on the other side of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked if I'd be willing to come up and do some stuff and kind of get involved with what they're doing. And I agreed to. And next thing I know, my brother from another and myself are back tag teaming once again. So it's we've had a couple runs now. We're getting ready to go again December 6th, Atomic Revolutionary Wrestling in Cocoa Beach. And it's good to be back, I guess, so to speak. Yeah, just a bit.
Sawyer Fulton, right? You can get Sawyer Fulton and his partner.
Say that again.
You're going against Sawyer Fulton and his partner, right?
Correct. Yep.
What's his partner's name? Starts with a V, I believe.
Oh gosh, I gotta look it up.
Yeah. No problem. I'll get that for you, but we'll be sort of plug that before the Q&A. So definitely want to plug your stuff and see. So definitely want to do that. All right. So let me, like I said, let's just catch up before we have any questions. Before I get to any of these questions. So we talked about your Impact Wrestling run before when you were talk, and so just as an overall evaluation of your Impact Wrestling run, what would you say? What would you give? Just I guess let's grade it. What grade would you give your overall Impact Wrestling run?
Kind of broke up a little bit. Did you ask me what I would grade myself as? Is that what you said?
Yeah, what grade would you give yourself?
Oh, man.
Your overall run.
A C? I was still very green at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just due to timing, I was given the opportunity, which I'm very grateful for, to be thrusted into the spotlight, so to speak. But I was still very green. I was very, very green still. There's looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. Looking back at it, I watched some of my old stuff and like, man, that was stupid. What the heck are you doing, Garrett? Why would you even act like that? Why would you do that? Why would you do that at that time? And I was very green.
That's very interesting. First of all, I appreciate your transparency. A lot of people say that. They'll be, oh yeah, everything was fine. Everything was good. I was good, and I can give myself an A. I think there's growth in that. To say that there was room for improvement. You were thrust in a pretty big opportunity. Of course, you started with as a ref, and you did some time as a ref. Now, was that your father's idea to make you a referee before giving you a wrestling role?
Yes. Yes, it was. And I was all about it, to be honest with you. I think it was a very unique way to kind of, get in there. And the approach that we took, in very few people's eyes, they felt like we were hiding things. But at the end of the day, after a month or two, when it actually, and I mean, when I say we were hiding things, like for a good 6-8 weeks, not even the locker room knew who I was.
Oh, okay.
Like, I kept it from everybody. Like in catering, my dad and I didn't speak. I was the new referee. That's who I was, you know. And then we literally played that to everybody. There might have been, you know, 6 or 8 people total that knew what was going on. And we did it for a couple of reasons. One, because we wanted to keep the story alive and surprising. And two, I wanted the opportunity to be able to meet these guys, you know, get myself in the locker room under without a freaking fucking Bischoff's kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it worked. And, you know, it worked. And I'm glad we did it that way. And being able to agree with Earl and Brian Hebner, they took me under the wing and they taught me so much. And being able to have the opportunity to be in the ring for almost a year, if not a little bit more, in a referee setting, and be able to watch and see the mechanics of what goes on, that's a learning experience that a lot of guys don't get to get.
That's true. That's true, absolutely.
It's very different. You know, a referee is just as important in a match as the workers are.
And, 100%.
Being able to see it from that point, you know, that point of view was a great learning experience. And Earl Hebner is the man. He's a legend. Brian Hebner is great. And they, you know, I got nothing but good things to say about those guys.
It's funny that you bring up Hebner. You know, we most recently, as far as a popular stage is concerned, we most recently saw him at All In. Did you watch All In? And if you did, what was your take on it?
I did not, honestly. And I know it sounds bad, but I really don't watch anymore.
Really?
No. You know, if I know a couple of my guys or, you know, my buddies that I'm close friends with are doing something big, or, you know, WrestleMania, or, you know, a couple of the big pay-per-views here and there, I'll do. But as far as tuning in every week, I just don't really anymore. I record it, you know, I can go back and scroll through it. You know, guys like Gallows and, you know, those guys that I like, that I work with and are friends of mine. I enjoy watching AJ and Samoa and Bobby and all those guys that are over at WWE now. I enjoy watching their success. I can't sit through 3 hours of wrestling anymore, and I sure as heck can't sit a few hours of TNA at all.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how WWE is really putting a lot of hours of wrestling in. I mean, just if you think about it, just the past couple of months, you had I think No Mercy, Hell in a Cell, you had Hell in a Cell, and then you had, right after that, you had Evolution, and then Crown Jewel. Well, actually, before Evolution was the Super Showdown. So you had Hell in a Cell, Super Showdown, Evolution, Crown Jewel, and then in a week and a half, in a little over a week and a half, you have Survivor Series. So shot a lot of content, and you know, it's one of those things that even people who've been wrestling fans for their whole life, you know, still you know, still don't, can't find the time all the time to watch. Now, thankfully, it's one of the ways that I make a living, so it actually works in my favor. You know, you watching wrestling, you don't make a living watching wrestling. You make a living by actually wrestling. So that's a big difference. <so. laughs>
There's nothing against, you know, I have nothing against all that. It's you know, it's obviously something's working for them, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. Days, you know, when I was younger, I probably would have sat down and watched 8 hours of it. I just,
yeah. Yeah.
20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 tops.
Right. Vertigo is the person's name that is going to be a part of that show on December 6th. Atomic Tag Team Championship match at the Space Coast Convention Center in, I think that's Cocoa Beach, right?
Cocoa Beach, yep.
Yep. All right. All right, so let's get into these questions
here. I don't
here.
Usually book the show about a week beforehand, so we're 3 weeks early.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good that you know, the fans know. You know, I have a lot of listeners who live in Florida. So for those who live in the Cocoa Beach area, go take a drive and check out Garrett's Twitter page, and it's all, it has the address on there as well. So go check them out. Him and Wes, the Aces and Eights. All right, so let's get into some of these questions. We've got HP asking, what are some mistakes that your father has made that you've learned from as you push toward your goal and the business? By the way, Eric Bischoff is the GOAT, is what this the total question and statement said.
Oh, man, that's a heck of a question, especially right out of the gate.
Yeah, noted.
And to be honest with you, that's a hard one for me to answer, only because, you know, most people look at my dad, they remember him from WCW, and whether it's what they think they know or what they actually know, and I'm not putting anybody down here, I'm just trying to paint a picture, or what they've read or what they've got from him himself or any condition above, I was so young then, I didn't know any better. I don't know, you know, I was around it, but I was so young, I couldn't tell you what a mistake that he made. God knows there's probably 100 of them, and he'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard for me to answer that because I was too young to really be there to give a adult's perspective or a professional opinion on it, because I wasn't. I was a child, and I didn't know any different.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I can't answer that one better, but I just don't really have. I don't have a better one than that.
Sure. Yeah. That's, well, what about Impact Wrestling? You worked with them in Impact. What are some things that probably wasn't the best business decisions that you thought, you know, that you did learn from as a pro wrestler?
Once again, you know, the business side of what he did and what I was doing were two totally different things. Everybody, I get that question a lot, and usually it pertains to what they did with me. So if that's what we're asking here, was there a mistake made with how we handled what he and I did together at TNA as far as our story went? Once again, hindsight being 20/20, absolutely. I think, you know, things were rushed. I was greener than, you know, goose stuff. And I didn't, you know, I did the best that I could do with what we had, and I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. But once again, hindsight being 20/20, that it was probably way too rushed.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's learned from. And now, since you've got the hours, and, you know, you've got the years in the business to learn those, you know, it is, like you said, hindsight 20/20. The good thing of that is that was a while ago, and you can learn from that. You were getting a big opportunity and a big stage early in your career to really to learn from the good and the bad, and plus you've had, you know, time as a referee to really know that element too. So you were given a lot of responsibility early in your career, and you know, you're still wrestling, so obviously you rebound from it and learn from it. Another question here says, I'm quite sure your father's one, but who are some people that you looked up to in the business?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, my father is one. He's got a brilliant mind, and his legacy, so to speak, speaks for itself. Some people that I look up to, I'll name a few. So when I really started getting into it, we'll start from the very beginning. The very first wrestling school that took me in. And once again, remember, I'm not trying to sound arrogant here, but I'm Eric Bischoff's kid. So I'm trying to be real careful about who we get in with. So it doesn't, some people will try to, you know, manipulate that or use that to their advantage. But the first place that we went to, and my dad, he and I flew out to LA, and it was Knox Pro Academy with Rikishi and Reno Inoue and David Heath, Gangrel. That was their academy. And they took me under their wing and treated me like family right from the start.
Nice.
And I'll never forget it. You know, those guys, they're some of the greatest guys you can ever meet. And I always, to this day, just nothing but respect and really look up to those guys. And they've been there and they've been to the big show. They've done it. They've been around for a long time. They're established. And now they're trying to pass that kind of quality on to their students. And so that's one. Those are a couple guys right there. Cut to TNA, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle took me under his wing. If you remember early days, as soon as I went from referee to wrestler, they kind of put me in something with Kurt Angle. And he took me under his wing and coached me and helped me and was nothing but amazing. And I'll never forget it. So to this day, he's one of the guys that really, you know, really stood out to me and I looked up to.
That's awesome. That's an easy choice.
Bubba Ray and Devon, Bully Ray, those guys. Yeah. So, I mean, just the most fantastic. They have such heart and passion for business, and they love to teach.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their own styles. Devon is much more. He's a lot easier to warm up to. Bully is not, but when you know that when you're working with him or when you're listening to him or if he's drilling on you, it's because he cares and you know, that kind of thing really stuck with me. So, and I could go on about a bunch more guys too. There's more than just that, but you know, those guys, you know, they didn't have to. They took me under the wing and they didn't have to, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah, those are some very legendary choices for sure. I mean, anybody that grabbed those group of people and became a star for sure. Okay, so let's see here. We got Wild Boy asking, how much time have you spent? And it says, quote, the great place of Detroit, Michigan. But I'm an Ohioan, so I won't call it great. I've been in Detroit. I like Detroit from what I've been there, but I don't know if I call it great.
How much time have I spent in Detroit? Not much. I was there when I was younger for my grandfather's funeral for about 3 days. I don't remember much of it. And then I was back there last April for Legends of Wrestling. That's Brian Knobb's business or wrestling organization, whatever you want to call it. That was a great show though. We had 3,000 people in the arena.
Nice.
Sting was there. Ric Flair was there. My dad was there. Me, Briscoe, Mike Knox. You know, so we had the three of the Aces and Eights guys were there. There's a bunch of guys. Keep going. It was a great show. Billy Gunn. Mm-hmm. Actually, I ended up working Badass Billy Gunn that night. So we had a lot of fun. Great show. That was the last time I was in Detroit. That was April 20th of last. Yeah, it was over my birthday.
Nice.
And we were there for
fun.
My dad was grew up in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of After the, we stayed an extra day or two, and he and I went over to his old neighborhood and walked around the block where he used to live and grew up, and his old
school. Nice.
Yeah, went and ate at one of the neighborhood restaurants that his parents, my grandparents, his parents used to take him to on Friday nights for pizza, and so it was fun. It was a lot of good. It was a good time.
The taste of nostalgia. It's always good to go back and you know, trip down memory lane as long as the. The memories are good, so it's good that you were able to do that with your dad. That's awesome.
We
got a question here regarding Ace of the Nate. What was your overall thoughts with the Ace of the Nate faction? Now, I've had you on before, and we talked about this. I've had Wes Briscoe on before to talk about it. I've had Ken Anderson on to talk about it. I've had Mike Knox on to talk about it. So I've had a lot of people, D-Lo, I've had him on to talk about it. So I've had a lot of people on my show, and I've had your dad on my show twice. So I've had a lot of interesting takes on Aces and Eights. What are your overall thoughts on Aces and Eights, just for the new batch of listeners that probably wasn't around to hear you when you were on my show before?
Yeah. So when Aces and Eights came out, wrestling had not seen a raw, gritty faction like that since DX and NWO.
Mm-hmm.
There've been a couple groups, but nothing quite gritty and raw and edgy. Since the DX and NWO thing. And it got such a great reaction. And we were having so much fun with it. Whether I was a part of it or not, it would have been fantastic. In fact, my part in that was slim to none. But the edginess of it, the way it was produced, the way it was created, we pushed the boundaries without crossing them. And that's something that the wrestling world just hasn't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And everybody will have their own opinion about it, but nobody, the Shield didn't exist until the Aces and Eights were created. Did they do it bigger and better? Absolutely. Did they have better, did they have a better production over it? Of course. But
yeah.
Once again, they forced the envelope. They forced somebody else to do something to, it was just such a, and it was fun. It was just new, different. It was something that people, it wasn't the same old mundane stuff. So it was a lot of fun. I had so much fun being a part of it. I had so much fun doing it. It unfortunately ended very abruptly for a number of political reasons that I won't go into. But anybody who is a part of it knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
If they ruined a really good thing, I think there was something they could have let that one go for another 6 months.
I agree.
It's unfortunate that such a great thing ended the way it did. But I had a ball doing it. I thought it was the greatest, one of the greatest things that not the greatest things ever to go down in history. Trust me, I'm not saying that. But just in this day and age, you don't see that kind of stuff.
Yeah. A couple more questions before we ask this last couple questions here. I think I've asked probably just about everybody who was part of the Aces and Eights this question. I don't call the answer. Now I'm going to ask you this. Was Bully the mastermind? Was he booked to be a part of the kind of head honcho mastermind the whole time, or was it kind of changed in the middle? Was it a last minute decision? Who was supposed to be the leader from the very beginning?
So to my understanding, now listen, I was talent, I wasn't booking. So I don't know, I was not a part of the you know, of creative. I was not a booker. So I couldn't give you an honest answer on that. To my knowledge, they knew that they could run with the story they had for so long without mm-hmm. actually, because we were all wearing masks. So they could play that gimmick for, you know, months and months and months and not reveal who's going to be. So I don't, in my honest opinion, I don't think they knew. I think they were kind of waiting to see how it played out and how the crowd was going to react to that situation and that group and that faction. And then, according to the audience, pick who they think would be best. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Like I said, I wasn't there. I'm not a booker. I'm not a creative writer. So I don't know if that was their intention, but that's how I took it.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. So let's see. Let's ask this one from Zed. What is the most vicious fan reaction you ever witnessed?
There's two that stand out. And these, now mind you, these are two that stand out in person, like actually in an arena, not keyboard warriors or telephone tough guys. Those guys are dumb and they don't matter. But there was one of the best reactions we got was over in Manchester. And it was not just me. I was a part of it. We were in the Aces and Eights. And the entire arena started throwing beer cans and stuff like they used to in the NWO days. Like we were dodging beer bottles and beer cans, you know, which we thought was awesome. That was the greatest thing. It's like, all right, if we're getting you to do that, job accomplished.
That's right.
So that was one. Other than that, I can remember once or twice where we were leaving a building, and there was a couple fans that were waiting out, you know, out behind where we were parked, and started screaming, hooping, and hollering. But nothing ever came of it, so nothing, you know, not a big deal. Most of the tough guys or the wannabe tough guys are keyboard warriors. And,
Yeah. Those people. Yeah. That's good though. I mean, you want people to be throwing beer cans and putting hollering at you. That's a job well done for a heel. You know, nowadays you have heels that people cheer for them, and that's to me, traditionalist. I've been watching wrestling over 30 years. That's counterproductive to me for a heel. A heel shouldn't be cheered. I mean, getting beer cans thrown at them and people out and take them out. That's a job well done.
That's how I look at it. You know, like, listen, everybody's got a job. If I'm, you know, I'm the heel, my job is to make you hate me. And if you're wanting to give me a big old hug and a kiss at the end of it, well, then I didn't do my job.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
If you're threatening me in the parking lot and you're screaming obscenities, hoorah, I did a good job. You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at it.
100%. Absolutely. All right, last question of the night. Name some of your favorite wrestling theme music. Now, that's one of the personal favorite questions of the night for me because I love theme music, specifically old school theme music. But what are some of your favorite theme songs in the professional wrestling?
Stone Cold is definitely one of my favorite ones.
Classic.
And that's you just said it. Anything like the classics, those are the ones that I like because they, today, everything is like, it's almost like you're in a club. You're in a nightclub. And
that's true.
It's very few of them.
A lot of EDM. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like CM Punk's music, you know? I mean, you can't, as soon as it hits, you know what's happening. There's not a split second that you're thinking, who is this? As soon as it hits, boom, you know who it is. Stone Cold. As soon as it hits, boom, you know who it is. That's what I really got a kick out of when I was a kid, when the NWO started using Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that, you know, as soon as you heard that guitar lick, you knew what was about to happen.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, those are a couple of them. You know, my brain isn't all what it used to be, and I'm sure if I heard a couple of them, I might be able to make a few more off. But switch over to the hip hop side. Remember when the NWO split off to the Wolfpack? That Wolfpack kind of hip hop rap song that came out, that was pretty cool. It was kind of edgy, kind of cool.
Absolutely. Good stuff. All right. So as we leave, I guess we got another question here, and it's a good way to kind of send off here. What's your plans in the wrestling business in the near future? And after you answer that question, let the listeners know what you got going on. Of course, December 6th, and where to find you on social media.
Yeah. You know, right now, I'm just enjoying the opportunity to be able to kind of get back in the locker room and that camaraderie. I miss that locker room. I miss my buddies. So having the opportunity to once a month or once every other month jump in the ring and do something that I enjoy doing and love doing, but not relying on it for an income, it makes it that much more fun again. When you look at, when it becomes a job, it kind of takes the fun out of it. I'm grateful and blessed to be able to still be able to do those things once in a while. I'm not chasing another contract. That's not what I'm doing this for. My days are over for that. I'm just here to have a good time and do something I love with the guys I love doing it with. So as far as wrestling goes, I'll continue to do those things. I love doing wrestling shows for charity events, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, doing charity and stuff like that. I hands down, I'll be there, I love doing that kind of stuff. So, anytime you'll see me at some of the Atomic shows. Other than that, I got some new irons in the fire. Taking a kind of a different approach to life at the moment. Like I said in the beginning of this, I took a hiatus, so to speak, from work, and just kind of getting back to doing some old school stuff, contracting and painting and stuff like that, like old construction stuff I did before I got into wrestling, and I'm kind of enjoying doing it. Doing that for now. And got a few irons in the fire. When those, if they light up, you guys will be the first to know.
Awesome. And you're at Garrett Bischoff on Twitter, right? 1R.
Yep. Twitter and Instagram. 1R, 2Ts, at Garrett Bischoff. Yep.
Awesome. Fantastic, Garrett. Appreciate you taking the time to come on the show again.
Hey, man. Thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it. Had a good time and look forward to doing it again.
Fantastic. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Really. Nice guy. There it is. It's funny because both him and Eric are very accessible, and I appreciate that. It's because we'll be back on the show. People like that who have had opportunities and impact WWE, but doesn't really have much of a platform to share it. I like Brett on the show. I thought about Gary calm and, we took a while. He was more than willing to come on the show. And so I appreciate that. Give him major kudos. All right. So we have the software. Get with me on that. I'll share that with you on Twitter. And we'll do that. I've been talking to some people to some leads from one of these who are IT. No doubt, let me know. But till then, thank you for being a part of the Q&A, and thank you for enjoying. Thank you so much and I appreciate her to being able to put in a schedule. I remember we talked on the phone, and he was talking about how he usually hits very earlier bedtime. We're both Eastern time. And but yeah, with that, you know, he was able to about a lot of fun, and it's going to be exciting. We have Brown Jewel, ladies and gentlemen, and also have some interesting, interesting developments from Crown Jewel. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. So, sometimes my son is on. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. My two boys, like, you know, we're like, hey, listen, this is your bedtime. You can hang out in your room for a little bit and watch some TV. This is when you're going to get into bed. And so I have my youngest daughter my daughter. She's be 1 in 3 weeks, actually. And, you know, the good thing is her schedule is going to get really good. So we're actually where we got to the point where it was like 9 o'clock, but starting to sleep very well. Consultation with the doctor, with a pediatrician, and you know, she's like, hey, you know what? Let's try it out for a couple days. You know, she's a lot smarter than you think they are, and they'll keep crying. You know, I think has a fantastic birthday. And I'll ask some of the Chris questions as well. Some really good ones. Go ahead and address those here in a bit. Yeah, so it got to the point where, you know, this was months ago, because we were trying to get to the point where at least 5 hours straight, because you know my poor wife, you know, throughout the time that she was super nursing and extra feeding and stuff like that, that was brutal, specifically for my wife. So now, thankfully, you know, she sleeps through the night, and you know, got to the point where one of the big things that broke that was the fact she was crying. Because she's very smart. Parents are very smart. A lot more than you think. Keep crying because they know they want. They absolutely are very aware of that. And so if you kind of break the mold a little bit, when you transition them to the crib, where that doesn't work more, and that's usually kind of like the mold and allow to fall, you know, throughout the night. So, good advice. I read about it. It was good to get that confirmed because people are really sensitive about that. And, you know, our reports are good to have an expert. So, appreciate that very much. So, Parent Rule says yes, absolutely. Where's Dan HP says absolutely. While he's asking, did you find any backstage news or awaits regarding the future? Yes, I did. You want an exclusive here on Pancakes and Power Slams? Is anybody exclusive on the Pancakes and Power Slams? Are you ready? As you know, live. Oh, no profanities on the chat room. All right, as you know, I didn't know that. And to be honest, I didn't know he was. I was there. Did some media work there, and as you saw on the Crave Wrestling Power Center show, And he enjoys the crowd, so he got a big pop there. And he was super over. And he said okay, so of course, you know, I work in the media, so of course I'm going to review it. So I was trying to figure out what I think I'm going to do as an exclusive on the Pancakes and Powers. So Marty did feel that he said that people are wondering where me and the boys are going to go. And he said, you know, here's the news. I'm not going anywhere. So Marty, he did come and he won Survivor of the Fittest. That guaranteed him that auto match. So it looks like we'll probably be having Lethal and my squirrel fun battle. I think I'm a big Jay Lethal fan. He's the greatest of the current era right now. He's my personal favorite right now. He has been for a few years as far as top five concerned. I don't want him to lose, but you know, I can see Marty Scurll beating Jay Lethal in the final battle, but it makes sense because that probably may be like one of those things that ROH perhaps, see, I don't know. I'm close with people in ROH. I definitely want to do a bunch of speculation that I don't necessarily know about. I respect, you know, the relationship. I don't know that for sure, of course. But that may be some type of a reward for them. Yeah, so that was the exclusive, ladies and gentlemen. Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Said he's staying with ROH. All right, next questions. Russ asking, do you think we could shame him for CM Punk WrestleMania? And, you know, we've developed a strong familial relationship with MP Nation and myself, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. Are you ready for this? No, said. Are you ready for this popular opinion? And the unpopular opinion is this. I'm not a CM fan, and I've stressed before 345 episodes. I've made it clear, on the 2.5 years that I wrote for Bleacher Report from 2012 to 2015 as a feature columnist. I've written articles about CM Punk. I am not a fan. Now, granted, he had a cult-like impact in the WWE. I would love to interview him on the show. I would love to do an interview with CM Punk. I'm sure that you all would love to as well. I don't think the WWE's lacking much, if at all. Shane McMahon versus CM Punk. Sure. been for years. So the thing, match, I'm sure the bill for that would be intriguing. You know, it would be intriguing to but you know, on paper then that I wouldn't really be into it, to be honest with you. Now granted, very clear. Exciting to everybody. You know, that'll be fun and that'll be something that's that you would do as far as the thrill of seeing Punk and it caught the moment of CM Punk. And I'm sure it'll be awesome to see live. Other than that, to get booed now. So, but I suppose if Shane McMahon was, if we see the Shane and CM match, it would be interesting to see. So, all right, here we go. What else? Some good questions. Do you see them going to like an NXT type thing? I think would be an idea. Let's see. For the info, absolutely. 100%. Exclusives, ladies and gentlemen. Grant says neither am I. So he's asking, and Chad Gable. Now I like Bobby Roode. I like Chad Gable too. But they don't have the division is not good. I don't understand. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of division. I like Leo Rush. I like him that manager role. But just Leo Lashley is just boring. The tandem makes sense. Try to heat Manchester. I mean, like Leo struggling to get heat, and that's sad. I mean, to boo somebody nowadays, if you're struggling to get heat, like that, more over than Bob Lashley is. So you can do some of that, and with that, maybe you can have Lashley and Apollo Crews team up together and become an intended face tag team. So otherwise, you know, who we have the B team come faces and feud against AP be something I'd probably be interested in doing and watching or being interested in. Good for live event and merch. That's usually the part of non, you know, juggernaut, as the man would say, non, you know, companies and non, you know, corporate companies, you know, having different and really pushing your merchandise is the way to go. So, and I think that their partnership with Japan has helped the company substantially as far as being popular. You know, their live events are starting to increase significantly. And they're just becoming quite popular. I think, of course, you know, the acquisition of like Cody Rhodes and, you know, Bully Ray's thing as far as WWE, especially being a part of the Hall of Fame, they contract. It, you know, ROH, you know what I mean? So that was pretty cool. They were, you know, being part of the two, being the change. And I look at this. I'm not. I'm a big Shane McMahon fan. I am. I don't have any desire to see him as a heel. Well, keep him at GM role because we need him. Take him as a babyface character thing. What, getting that cheap up wherever you go. Shane McMahon, I don't want him as a heel to cloud the already very weak collection of talent they have as far as build up. And he'll, you got some. You already have heel. You have Miz. You have Small Joe. You have some appearances. Andrade Cien Almas has been ridiculously underused. It's so funny. Ken and Dane can be pulled to be a heel, but they're not doing anything with him. It's funny because I was thinking about just how, and I think I mentioned this before, just how terrible they book any call-ups. SmackDown alone, you had Nikki Cross accepting an open challenge, losing, and makes an appearance for the time in Eon, just introduced Nikki Cross to lose. And had which had a magic stereo accepting that, but why not? Was a thing for Raw and SmackDown. Why in the world are you giving us this stuff this prematurely killed? Who? When the professional wrestling stop concentrating on actually building stars? No excitement. You just give us stereo almost on SmackDown. It the same thing with Angle and McIntyre. Now, a big Drew McIntyre fan. I think overall it was great to really give McIntyre kind of like that party as far as appeal. I think it was great, but I think it would have had so much more emotion in it if it was actually built for Survivor Series, for Royal Rumble, for wanting to be a part of the Royal Rumble. Wanting to be a part of WrestleMania, and in order to, you know, fight or WrestleMania or Rumble or be a Rumble or be able to be a to in order to become champion. That's you could have done that. Could have been a Rumble, you know. Baron Corbin keeps Buck Corbin as liking Corbin's. GM Shane Kurt wants it back. He with Corbin for weeks. He actually beats Baron Corbin like on episode of Raw. And you know, Corbin was wild. They think that think that Angle's GM McIntyre. Beat Drew McIntyre, will be a part of, you know, you'll be a man. Thinking that stick for Kurt Angle, just be a part, you know, being a Survivor Series captain. That's a big business thing up. And that at pay per view is when you have Drew McIntyre, you know, kind of this coming out party. As far as, I mean, it's like that. I'm a big fan of Shane McMahon, but I don't agree. I would not have Shane McMahon take someone to his heel spell. I think that that's a terrible call. All right, so a few of the headlines. We have a few headlines today because we got a really packed night as the best current WWE. So I think we'll probably get past the first round today and then get, because you know, I end up writing like 26 themes down because getting messages of different things. But okay, I'll do it this way. I'll show you here in a minute and we'll do it. We're going to have some fun with it. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the All right, so Crown Jewel. Let's talk about Crown Jewel for a little bit. Odd show, a very, very odd show. Just, you know, random thoughts on. I think the World Cup from the very beginning was very odd, very odd to have, and. First of all, nobody from the World Cup was out of the United States. if I'm not mistaken. So you had Orton, United States, Ziggler, United States, Mysterio, United States. He reps Mexico for heritage, but he was still born in the United States. Rollins, United States, Lashley, United States, Angle, United States. So everybody that was a part of the World Cup was a U.S. born citizen. So that alone doesn't make sense. Then you have Angle, after building up this big thing, you have to lose in the first round against Dolph. Why in the world at the end, up to the Shane thing, which I think was bad, first of all, you have two heels going into the finals of the World Cup. You know, people enjoy baby faces at times, but two heels going against each other at that big of a stage didn't make sense to me. I think it was going to be something screwy. And when they did the Shane McMahon thing, I'm like, oh, like this is what this is the best you come up with as far as booking a World Cup. Oh, just absolutely terrible. Lashley lose clean to Seth Rollins. I think that was a bad call. He should have lost by disqualification or count out. I think it would have been better. I don't know. I just kind of hard for me to really think about how WWE at times could just not book stuff that would make more sense. Like, for instance, if Bobby Lashley lost by countout and destroyed Seth Rollins after the match, that would be a perfect transition to Rollins losing the second round. He would have came out limp, would have protected Rollins as the Intercontinental Champion. It would have protected Lashley because he would have lost by countout and destroyed Rollins at the end of the match. And that would have, like I said, if he would have lost, which he did, it wouldn't have been some big match, some really tough match. And no need for all that. Just protect, the ending was this whole Shane thing, which I would have written anyways, because I think that was a bad call. But don't just have your top names just lose, for no reason, just to end it out with the Shane. Bad call. And so I was disappointed. I was totally disappointed. I actually enjoyed the Royal Rumble show. I think it was a good show. This was a huge disappointment. So was good. What else is there as far as the card is concerned? I think that the main events were good. As far as AJ was good. WWE Championship. The strong thing, it's the announcement. They changed it and had Brock. Now, here's the thing. I think Roman should have won. Roman should have won the match. But it makes more sense from a WWE standpoint. Makes more sense of Brock Lesnar. Why? Because going into his UFC against DC, which could happen. And the problem is, that is a month before WrestleMania. So if DC destroys Brock, I think he will, you have in your hand, the WWE's a joke. So if of criticism. So I wouldn't personally. I would hide this thing with WWE Rumble. Now, who does lose it to? I don't see Strowman Mania as champion. So I do. So Rock and Reigns was my, was my idol title match. Going into 35, see Rollins and Rose going to see each other at Mania. Who do you have? Do Rock Taker for the title for the championship? And usually the bigger names like Goldbergs, the Rocks, they'll do have a short run and lose at Mania. DX and Destruction could have. At 53, they close to Shawn Michaels. Most likely Mania. It usually takes 6 months to recover. Gonna be May. So he's most likely gonna miss Mania. He pulls a scene and come back in 2 months. I enjoy his answers every year. I get it. I understand that, he'll 50 years old next year. He's this guy. That's his time of year to bring out his boots. I totally understand it. And I'm cool with it, too. I'm cool with Triple H coming back at WrestleMania. But what else do you have? Batista. So I like the tease that they were doing with that. I'm cool with that. I'm with Batista and Triple H. I'm totally cool with it, actually. But at 30... with Daniel Bryan, that was supposed to be the man, Batista and Orton. That would have been bad. but 5 years later, the scenario, my friend, it's not a match on winning a Rumble. It didn't win, which is Batista. And going in and having match against Randy Orton, Bulls match, nobody want that. So the situation is different for now. He's the baby face, kind of like a black four, so to speak. Orton still have this really big heel thing going on. People that like. So, the cards. The table can get a pretty good hand of if it's something with Batista and Orton. So, Bam, BBN, he could get a much deserved title run. Good question. Face. I don't know how much that's going to help him just as far as marketability wise. Being, he's maybe is, WWE's all about are you worthy enough to be in the Good Morning America's on the late night television show. That's the WWE out. At the end of the day, this is what I would do. I think that they should market Truman to really kind of strike while the hot and hard to set because they didn't do that. They failed at that. Strike the on top when it came to Strowman. Strowman is such an anomaly. He can rebound very quickly with stuff like this. He should have booked correctly. But I think at the end of the day, feud with him and McIntyre after Mania. So, for instance, McIntyre wins the title at Mania. There you go. You have your feud right there with McIntyre and Strowman. Make it have his big win beat Summerslam next August. Or if you want to do it before, that's fine. Universal Games at any time. WWE wants to take out the Universal Championship and say the World Heavyweight Championship. Man, speaking of World Heavyweight Championship, you see it right there. That's the big gold belt, ladies and gentlemen. The big gold belt. Good here. Hogan, and you have the Saudi Arabia crowd, which probably just on them being, a different nation, the international market, they probably wouldn't have. WWE is probably thinking, Saudi Arabia crowd, much lesser chance of just booing Hogan out of the arena. So that's what it seems like. Which would be in New Jersey, which is a tough crowd. But everyone wasn't going to vote, so it makes sense to bring back to that crowd. All right, the Universal Tigers, Gabriel says. Is asking why his face turned. He did a good job on Raw. He did a very good job on Raw. Not getting too baby facey, too cheesy. I'm glad that he didn't do that. I'm glad Dave Elias would just allow him to cheat him without having that. That one move just makes the move. Now, it's better heels. They need heels. So, Elias was the perfect person for that. However, I would prefer the heel, honestly. But he's not doing a bad job being a face because he's still staying Elias, which I appreciate. All right, let's do an Ask Chris question before we get into Raw and SmackDown. Real quick, so at Wrestle Kingdom, I love Wrestle Kingdom every year. It's one of my favorite reviews to watch. So that's unfortunate. So, all right, that's unfortunate that Jericho. Let's say it this way. You're not one of my favorites. Definitely one of my favorites. But I wish to give. I don't know how I'm going to say this. I'll say this. Jericho is one of my favorites. I'm not a big fan of that, honestly. Not a big fan, unfortunately. But at the same time, I think Jericho having an Intercontinental Championship helps it. The fact that he hasn't defended it 5 months, that's people wouldn't like that. But New Japan has so many titles that at the end of the day, he's going to make a nice, like a bigger star. All right. Other wrestling sites report on talent, Mid-Atlantic and Upper expressing frustration with the direction of WWE. Do you foresee a mass exit coming? I think that's where the issue is. Like, I think that the issue is the fact that the WWE probably won't be in is so. Boom! Now, the spring thing that they did every year. You just kind of have to find your way, you know, when you leave WWE and kind of get me in the indies. It's not anymore. You've got viable options now. Viable options. You have Ring of Honor, you know, Lucha Underground's, you know, months ahead. If I'm going to see Lucha Underground, you have like friends. Swag is a part of Lucha Underground. You have Impact Wrestling, of course, which is the 12th life of nine lives. And I product overall. I think that they're a solid product. You have, I mean, even like PWG or PCW, which is New Japan, of course, you know. Japan's a very viable option, so it's as easy. WWE people go as the same as it were used to. So they're keeping people because of that. So what's your grades of Raw and SmackDown? We'll just run back together. Gabriel's asking a bullet will fare without the guys of the Elite no guys in New Japan? That's a really good question, actually. Yeah, because Cody announced that he's not with him anymore. Bucks, you know, I was at Ring of Honor. Bucks don't sport. I mean, you still have the Skulls, like pretty scrub. He has like a villain club thing. And then Bucks have the Elite in their shorts, and they still sport the Skulls and the Bullets. But as far as the Bucks, not Skrull. He had like a skeleton hand, like cross skeleton hands with like a half face skull with the signature shade. That's kind of like his look now. Peanut butter and jelly. Both on a sandwich. That's a great question. Both on a sandwich. I love me some peanut butter and jelly sandwich, ladies and gentlemen. So as far as like a big one they can bring, that's a good question. Who would be, tell you who would be a good leader for Bullet Club? They're already doing Jay White, though. Looks like they're doing the Jay White thing with the OGs. I like the split. I don't like the OG C plus for both. Yeah, Raw is okay. It was just okay, honestly. It's hard. I mean, SmackDown was I guess SmackDown was a B. It was a pretty solid show. Then the almost in the random match should have taken most of that feud. You know, I'm partial to the new, so because I wish it would have won, but because it's like the Usos have gotten their number for a while, but. But yeah, solid B for SmackDown. Just the bottom pretty good, pretty evident. But here's the problem. Who cares? I do like the fact of doing some with Tamina. But he's kind of like the. You know, Nia, that was probably the worst Raw I've ever seen in my life. They built this turn to coming out on consecutive weeks, bring down Ned Jax, and they just stared at Ember Moon. I like the fact they're doing that to Ember Moon. another NXT talent they're portfolioizing. Ember Moon from the Women's Royal Rumble match. It's Nita the Boston Crab. Nia Jax is like, what are you doing? So, turn around. And then you do a really weak double drops, and then you're, and it's like super happy. That was a terrible heel. That brought it down a notch a few times to me. AOP winning the tag team title makes sense. I mean, probably the only legitimate tag. One of the crews, he won, and I kind of marked on that. Was happy. Rousey Thomas was legit. Rousey, she's learning, man. She's learning. I appreciate that. I respect that. Rousey's learning, man. And I like it. I like it. So, all right. Let's jump to the week. Before we do that, I want to address a couple more club leaders. It's the most very defiant worker. You had that with Alpha. You had that with AJ. You had that with Omega. It's the mode of the new Bullet Club. I think that would be very interesting. There was another exquisite question on here that was interesting. I don't think I've ever had that. I'm glad you brought that up, Jim. I'm happy that they did that. That they build that storyline for that to kind of Palya and Becky and Sonya, because it was like a no contest, no count out, and then to make Riott look like a deal. I'm totally fine with that too. So I was in part of all that. The whole thing was good. It was good. But I think Ty did a very, very poor job, honestly. I think it would have been much better, honestly. Some trivia. Here's the thing. Wrestling Bullet Club needs to end. I don't know. No, I don't know. Bullet Club. No. Well, you can't do that. When Japan's bread and butter, keep it. She's like a very casual man. She just watches it because I do. She doesn't really get it much. Although she's a lot of characters, but didn't really get into it much. She was watching it during that segment, and man, that's not very accurate. Like, we talk about that. We both were kind of talking about that. She's much more experienced actor than I. I've been in some plays and stuff, but yeah, good experience. You know, like you're gonna give the blessing to allow your dad to be a part of the line. Do it. You know what I mean? Make it like go all out. Dig to some places where you get the real tears out of. Make the crap more in the do. You see that pucker from the apron to the ring? I don't know. I heard about it. Somebody got there or something like that. Send that to me. I'd like to see that. So that was the Rocky. And that was all true. So the description is up now. Next trivia question. Survivor Series, by the way. What Survivor Series did the show? What you got on that? What Survivor Series did the Shield debut? All right. Oh, yeah, Brandon, let me address this real quick. The dude was saying someone's red ball head looked strange. It was so strange seeing Michael ball. To me, it just goes out of his gimmick because he's a smart guy. And get into the flavor of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Let's dig right into it. Here we go.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Good job, Brandon. Canada. Right, here's a bracket. We're going to do the first one of this because this is what I came up with. So, there's a lot of playing matches. Contest match to the actual first round. Mysterio Miz. And as you write that out, I'll ask a question. The Rock versus Survivor Series. Rock versus Peace occurred Survivor Series. Okay, looks like we have a tie right now for Mysterio. Break the tie. Who's going to break the tie? Mysterio! Ladies and gentlemen, Mysterio, he wins the play match.
Gross.
All right. Tied large black, too. I know it's difficult. I am. Okay. Oh, still tied. The next I see,
Mr. Black.
It says, go listen to the Lars team again.
Orton versus no one cares about Ziggler.
Baron versus Braun Strowman. Baron Corbin versus Braun Strowman. No, that should not be Kurt Angle Survivor Series. That should be Kurt Angle Royal Rumble. Guys are trying. What you got? Good answers, though. They're correct. Good answers. Kurt Angle debut. That is true. Who did he beat? You got that part right. Now you gotta remember who he beat in his debut. Alright, looks like Braun. Looks like Braun. To that. It's the nod. He didn't beat Al Snow. He did not beat Val Venis. All right, more playing. To the Usos versus the New Day. Usos. Two really good theme songs, by the way. We got Kurt Meat. Yeah, I think that was. I think where it's leaning to right now looks like that was my choice too. Yep. All right. Asuka wins. I agree. Asuka gets the nod. All right, another play in Ty Dillinger versus Kevin Owens. Ty Dillinger, Kevin Owens, right here in the corner here. What do you got? Owens. Owens gets the nod, ladies and gentlemen. Owens gets the nod. These play-ins are pretty cool, too. All right, another play-in. Two more play-ins that are really good, actually. Carmella versus Naomi. Don't include the dance break for Carmella, either. Don't include a dance break. There's other trivia questions while you guys figure it out. Who did Bret Hart defeat to retain the WWE title to Survivor Series 1992? Who did Bret Hart defeat to retain the WWE title to Survivor Series 1992? Oh, good job, Brandon. Shawn Michaels. Looks like we're split between Carmella and me. Shawn Michaels, great job. What we got? Carmella and Naomi. Next one wins. Next one gets the come in. Mella is money. All right. Well, we got it. Mella is cool. I think Naomi's is one of the best in the whole. Yep. All right. So good, very valiant effort. Yeah. Looking at those trivia questions, a lot of time has passed. Yeah. Yeah. Naomi's my favorite personally, but Carmella is your choice. So. All right. One last play-in is Velveteen Dream versus Samoa Joe. Velveteen Dream versus Samoa Joe. This week we have the play-ins. It will be the first round next week. Velveteen Dream and Samoa Joe. I see splits on that one, too. Another trivia question is, do this. What type of match did Big Stan Nails have at Survivor Series 1992? Looks like the team got the edge. Velveteen Dream. D-R-E-A-M is... another one of my personal favorites. Alright, so those plans, ladies and gentlemen, good stuff. And great, Brandon knows his trivia, ladies and gentlemen. Walt as well. Not stick on a full match. I was definitely scared of Nails when I was a kid. I was petrified of Nails. But God is good and ended up having a positive effect on me because now I'm becoming a doctor in forensic psychology. So I get to interview people like that and see if they're eligible for parole. So, it all worked out. It worked out at the end. Bob, man. Yeah, it all worked out at the end. What's your question for tonight? Who is the WWE champion at Survivor Series 1991? Last trivia question for tonight. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. This is what we have. Styles Mysterio, Strowman Dream, Nakamura Pillar, Undisputed Era, The New Day, Black, Orton, Carmella, and Asuka, Rollins, McIntyre, and Roode and Owens. That is going to be a nice, fun bracket to do next week. And you were all correct. Undertaker. Great trivia tonight, ladies. Great show. Lots of fun. Kudos to Garrett Bischoff, the guy. Awesome, awesome. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. Next week, we also have the I actually have next 2 weeks booked for you all. So it will be announced closer to the show. So I have the next 2 weeks live Q&A booked for you. Because if this one you all want, I'm going to do my best to get it locked for you. So I have the next 2 weeks booked. So stay tuned. Stay close to Act Prolific, Act Big Wrestling. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you all. Enjoy your week of wrestling. And always remember, I do it for you. Have a good night. So long, everyone. God bless. Bye-bye.